Good morning, everyone. Quite a full morning, a wonderfully full morning here at Zion. Excited to have Caleb's baptism this morning. So many other things going on. We do have the sacrament of the altar today. And as always, ask if you're not a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that you kindly refrain from receiving the sacrament. However, if you'd like to come forward and receive a blessing, please cross your arms as you come forward to the Lord's table. Also, tonight is movie night. Supposed for youth group. Movie night for youth group. It's supposed to be at our house, but Mrs. Thompson's under the weather. So we're going to take a poll of how many we're intending to come up in Sunday school today and see if we'll even have that. If we're going to have it, it'll be here at the church. From 6 to 8 tonight with the young men bringing the drinks and the young ladies bringing the snacks. Let's prepare for Caleb's baptism with the singing of Dearest Jesus, We Are Here.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the November 7th, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Ken Richard. Bill and Diane Breen are sponsoring the radio broadcast and the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in thankfulness for His many blessings. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 592. Dearest Jesus, We Are Here, hymn number 592 in the Lutheran Service Book.
At this time, I would like to invite any of the children of the congregation who would like to come forward to the front pew and witness the baptism of Caleb to please do so at this time. Just come on and have a seat right down in one of the front pews. Amelia, can you sit down in the front pew over there? Just have you sit down right here so you can see real good, okay? All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Lord, dear beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful, and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How is this child named?
Caleb Lee Welker.
Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemn the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserve believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. You led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and the lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Caleb according to your boundless mercy. Bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that, with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
From ancient times, it has been the custom of the Church to appoint sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing growth in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and of love for their neighbor. Is it then your intention to serve Caleb as sponsors in the Christian faith? If so, then answer yes with the help of God. The Lord enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do.
Amen.
Hear now the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join in together by praying the prayer our Lord taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Caleb, the Lord bless and preserve your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
As Caleb has in his mother's womb heard the word of God, and the Holy Spirit has worked in his heart, but as yet he is unable to voice his faith, his parents will give voice to the faith that has been planted in him. Caleb, do you renounce the devil? If so, then answer, yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works? If so, then answer, yes, I renounce them. Do you renounce all his ways? If so, then answer, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, then answer, yes, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, who descended into hell? The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. So they say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, then answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Caleb, do you desire to be baptized? If so, then answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
May I ask you to hold the book for me? Caleb Lee Welker, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always by the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. In holy baptism, God the Father has made Caleb a member of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven. In the one holy Christian apostolic church, Caleb, we receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Let us rise for prayer. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted the new birth and holy baptism and made Caleb a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that he has now become your child. You would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life, to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, in giver of life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of Caleb and upon all our parents. Let them ever rejoice in this gift you have given them. Enable them to be teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism, that they may share eternally with their children the salvation you have given them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Caleb Lee Welker, peace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
And that concludes the sacrament of holy baptism. I ask you to please return to your seats. Children, if you would return to your mothers and your fathers, and thank you so much for coming to the front to witness the baptism. Please be seated. Having a baptism this morning and being All Saints Day, two wonderful occurrences. We have the commemoration of the faithful departed also today. And if you noticed, right, receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming. I made the decision to move the commemoration of the faithful departed to the front of the service, because what we have here is that we have just brought Caleb into Christ's family as one who is watching and waiting for Christ, even as we remember those who have waited for Christ and are now in glory awaiting the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will continue with the commemoration of the faithful departed. In joyful expectation of the resurrection to life eternal, we remember before the Lord our departed family and friends who have gone before us in faith and all those who are in our hearts this day. Jean Burwell. Richard Ivan Ray. Robert E. Miller, Jr. Kathleen Beaver. Linda L. Holscutter. Donald E. Miller. Edwin L. Harris. Carl Robert Holscutter. Melinda L. Wolf. John H. Richard. Mildred Marie Coyne. Doris Jean Steffens. Robert Jewell Prestwood. Lynn David Hazley. Ruth Marion Opperman. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, we remember with thanksgiving those who loved and served you in your church on earth and who now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints and bring us at last to the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We will continue the divine service with the reading beginning with our Old Testament reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until that day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and as she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. What is baptism?
Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word.
Which is that word of God? Christ
our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at the 24th verse. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sin of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Saint Mark, the 12th chapter. In his teaching, Jesus said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and light greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 677, verses 1 through 4, For All the Saints, hymn number 677, verses 1 through 4, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
the sermon text this morning from our gospel reading. Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I wanted to ask you this morning, how is life going for you? Any turmoil? Any tension there? Let's think. Just our average, ordinary, everyday life. Mask or no mask? It wasn't long. Anybody remember this? What was it? Beginning of last summer? Like $25 put a whole lot of gas in my Impala. Now, $40 won't fill the tank. Like, that's irritating, to say the least. Or, how about, right, those of you who have Blue Cross Blue Shield for your insurance and watching them fight with Springfield Clinic back and forth, you know, and you're like, really? All I want to do is go to the doctor. How come it has to be so difficult? There's that right in front of us. If you're in high school, how's the whole high school experience working out for you these days? And as of Friday afternoon, well, the nation was waiting to see about the House up in Congress passing a $1 trillion spending / infrastructure bill. I personally can't imagine $1 trillion of anything, let alone $1 trillion. Anyway, all of these things and all of the multiple things that are in your life, like they're right here. Like these are the things that are right here. And they tend to block out the sight of what we're supposed to be actually doing, what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Because what are we supposed to be doing as Christians? We're supposed to be waiting for the return of Jesus. That's what we are supposed to be doing as Christians. And going about the business of making disciples. If we're going to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. We did that very thing this morning. That was wonderful to have Caleb's baptism right before us, right? But on the whole, waiting for Christ and making disciples, well, you'd think it'd be easy, but it's a way harder thing to do than most of us imagine. So, today, when we're thinking about it, like when we bring these things before our minds and take some time to ponder it, we really get to see how our adversary, Satan, shifts our view from what we're supposed to be looking at to what God wants us to be looking at. Right? He shifts our attention from what is most important in our lives to other things in our lives. He, you know, stirs the pot up, creating conflict among families, creating conflict in the Christian church. Demonic forces still do their best to cause us to forget what we're all about as church. Right? And their tactic hasn't changed a whole lot. Did God really say? Isn't that what Satan said to Eve? Did God really say? It's the same thing that stirs up false doctrine and false teaching in the church today. Right? It's very effective, but the tactic hasn't changed. That's why it is great to have the church here and what we as church do in our liturgy. First, every Sunday is a miniature Easter. So what are we doing when we come to church? And I know we say this before, and it's kind of neat to say this today because we had the time change, so it's not as dark, right? And the sun is out and shining. Just remind us, you know, showing up on Easter Sunday, and everything's bright, and the weather today is really nice, and it's just spectacular. But every Sunday is a mini Easter. And we meet here on Sunday morning in a rehearsal of the disciples hurrying to the tomb after they heard the news that Jesus wasn't there. Well, what are we doing? We're hurrying to see the Savior on Sunday morning, right? Jesus is risen from the grave. We're celebrating that today. And this Sunday in the church year is the Festival of All Saints. And we have this morning already recalled the names of those whose earthly waiting is now past and is with our Lord Jesus Christ. For we are told in the Holy Scriptures it is given for a man to die once and then face the judgment. That is, with faith in Christ, those who die in the faith are immediately in glory. Right? Those who die outside of the faith are immediately with the souls in prison. And that will be made manifest on the last day when Jesus returns. But our faithful dead reign with Christ in heaven, even as we now speak here in the worship service. So, on the one hand, we rejoice with those who watched and waited in the faith. That's one of the things we're doing today. We're rejoicing with those who watched and waited in faith. On the other hand, we rejoice today for Caleb, who has been made a child of his heavenly Father, an heir of the heavenly kingdom, and all this happened for him in the waters of holy baptism. So we have welcomed Caleb into the ranks of those who are the waiting ones. We are to wait and watch for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we will be caught up with Jesus in the air at his second appearing. And what a blessing it is that Caleb has been born to Christian parents who are concerned for his eternal welfare and his eternal well-being. Now, most of us, I myself included, because, you know, that day-to-day stuff right before your nose pushes out what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, I think we all probably need to repent of not having the parousia, that's the big fancy theological word that means the second coming of Jesus. We all need to repent of not having the second coming of Jesus and that thought before our minds more readily and constantly than we do. The fact is that we don't want to be lulled to sleep. We don't want to become complacent. We don't want to be caught unawares when Jesus comes. And remember, he's not going to appear like he did the first time. Right? The first time was in Bethlehem. True God and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, born in a stable, right? Running from those who would kill him until at last he rode into the arms of those who would take his life. And he rode into town on the back of a donkey's colt, right? Right into the arms of death. That's what Jesus did the first time. And he was laid in a borrowed tomb. The next time he's going to come in his power and glory and might, just as we remind ourselves at a Christian funeral. Right? Jesus will appear with the cry of command, with the shout of the archangel, with the trumpet blast of heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are still alive will meet them in the air. And so we are always with the Lord. Comfort yourselves with these words. So friends in Christ, let's keep waiting. Let's keep intentionally waiting and preparing, for the day is closer now than when we first believed. The signs are all around us and we don't want to be caught unawares. Remember, just as the ailments in your body, right, the aches, the pains, the bumps, the bruises, the things that don't heal the way they should heal, right, are all road signs. It's all a road sign pointing to our impending death. Because barring the second coming of Jesus Christ, we're going to leave this world and go to eternal glory. But we're going to die. Just so, too, the disorders in nature and the problems in the church are heralds of the approaching great judgment at the end of the world. And I know we often quote Martin Luther in the Lutheran Church, but he had this knack of putting into words things you want to say. We just don't know how to say them. But he had a good knack for doing that. And he says, in all these things that we face, that we are face to face with, the most unnatural conflicts, these things surely ought to strike our eyes. Since men were created for mutual love and service, right? That's why we were created, to serve one another. It's a horrible abnormality that their interests clash and a war of all against all is going on. I mean, go back to that peace thing. How easy is it to have peace? Everybody's got their opinion. Everybody wants to express their opinion, even in the household. You know, and how many of you have ever said to your kids, no, yeah, buts, right? No, yeah, buts. This is what Dad said. This is what Mom said. And somebody constantly wants to go, yeah, but what about this? It's tension. It's all the time. This isn't supposed to happen. It isn't supposed to be like that. Right? So, like when individuals gossip and they snipe and they backbite and they grow in anger with one another. I mean, isn't that, you flip on your TV, like some poor flight attendant is getting berated because every stinking sign in the airport says wear your mask on the plane. And so if you're going to get on the plane, do what the sign says. But no, they're going to take it out on this poor flight attendant and scream, holler, and yell at he or she. Right? Why? Right? It's not the flight attendant's fault that this is all happening. Right? But people would rather attack low-hanging fruit, right? The poor server at the fast food restaurant, the checker at the grocery store. Well, you didn't have any lettuce. You didn't have any lettuce. Well, we're sorry the truck didn't come in. You never have what I want. Like, you know, Christians, don't do that, right? These people are working hard and they're trying to do the best they can with what they've got on. No Christian should be caught attacking another person in that way, especially when they're trying to make the best of a bad situation, right? Rather, right, instead of doing that, we should do what we're supposed to do, which is be polite to one another, and to then get your pen and your paper out or your computer and write your senator and express your feelings and your emotions respectfully to your senators, right? Now, all of that, Luther didn't say that because they didn't have senators in his day. But he did say, and go on to say, that nations and coalitions of nations wage devastating and bloody wars. Like, that's not supposed to be either. So even at the lowest level of interpersonal relationships and at the highest level of nation against nation, this stuff isn't supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be like this. And every time we read of it and see of it or hear of it, it should remind us, Jesus is going to come back. And it's getting closer every day. Jesus is going to come back. Luther goes on, abnormal furthermore, right? And you know, you think of when he's writing in the time of the world when he's writing, he says, abnormal furthermore are epidemics and famines. For man is to replenish the earth and the earth is to nourish man. That doesn't happen is a sign that the world is broken and a sign that the world is winding down and on its way to the end. So no matter if you believe in global warming or you're preparing for the next ice age to come, or you think the coronavirus is a man-made devastation, or if you think it's just devastation and retribution for sinful humanity, know in the end, not supposed to be this way. These things aren't supposed to happen. Neither is it supposed to be that the world would rail at the church. That this too is a sign of the end times that are upon us. The children of men fulfill the words of Christ. What did Christ say about his followers? They shall hand you over to those who will make you suffer, and they will kill you, and all nations will hate you on account of my name. That is a demonically inspired hate, right? For our stand on the Holy Scriptures. So when the earth quakes and shakes, when hurricanes ravage the coasts and tornadoes devastate the interior of our country and forests are consumed with fire, when the earth demolishes the works of man's hands and buries man underneath his own buildings or drowns him in the floods, these things seem normal to us because they happen all the time, but they are no normal phenomena. And Christ wants us to regard them as signs of the impending collapse of the world. This collapse of the world is something that you and I know is coming. And so we wait. We wait for the reappearing of Christ as he will come in all of his power and glory. And while we wait, we remember what St. Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 8. St. Paul said, I think that what we suffer now isn't important when I compare it with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Nature is waiting on tiptoe to see the unveiling of God's family. Nature must waste away, not because it wants to, but because its master would have it so. But nature hopes it too will be freed from the slavery that destroys it and share the freedom of God's family in glory. So all of us who are the body of Christ, young, old, everyone in between, and even new ones like Caleb here, Don't let that stuff get in front of your eyes and make you not see the bigger picture and not see what you're supposed to be seeing. Let us wait. Wait in faith for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let us each, as the people of God in Christ Jesus, say, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly." In Christ's holy name. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us all now rise for prayer. O Lord our God, you have said to us, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We thank you, O Savior, for those who have died in the faith and are now in glory. We boldly ask you that through the work of the Holy Spirit we be kept in the Christian faith, ever confessing our salvation in the Messiah unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, we pray for those of our congregation who are sick and recovering from their illnesses. We pray for Jim Harnicky, Cheryl Hedrick, and Marge Ott as they recover from recent surgeries. We also pray for Marlon and Kathy Rose as they both go through physical therapy, asking that all for whom we pray and for those whom we name in our hearts be strengthened according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are in the turmoil of heart and soul and spirit, all those who ask for your grace in their time of trouble. We pray for calm hearts and spirits and the strength of soul that trusts in your guidance through the storms of life. Grant peace, O Lord. Grant peace. In Christ's holy name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sundays at 10 and 5 and on Wednesdays at 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray as our Lord taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Welcome to the faith of the Lord.
Thank you. true body of the Lord is David, saying that Christ is God. He has hung on the cross for you. That is forgiveness of us for our sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of the Lord, David, and Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
We rise. The true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 677, verses 5 through 8, for all the saints. Hymn number 677, verses 5 through 8 in the Lutheran Service Book. Just by way of a brief announcement, Pastor Thompson's adult Bible class will meet here in the church following the service. John's in the Holy Trinity room downstairs, the blue one with the dove in the Trinity and everything. Rod Meyer's class meets in the big classroom downstairs. May the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.